God, amen.
Amen.
A couple weeks ago, I went on a 4-day personal retreat. And it's a blessing to be able to go away for 4 days. My wife said go. To be able to just quiet the noise, to get away and to hear God's voice. I need that. I'm ADD, I could be all over the place. But to be able to sit still and quiet the noise and really hear God's voice, to be able to perceive it, to be able to understand it and apply it to my life, is a wonderful blessing. We've had a lot in the last year go on in our lives. And I want to encourage you. Maybe you can't take 4 days, but if you can get away for a day, and I have my little journal, my little retreat journal, and it's amazing how God will speak if we would just be still and be available to hear him, to get out of the routine. And so take a day by yourself. And it may be uncomfortable because we're so used to going and routine and this and that and helping and serving and sharing. But just to be able to have God share with us personally, to be able to jump into his arms like we saw this morning and just hug and listen and allow the presence of God to dominate your mindset. I pray that all of us can do that from time to time. We are not too busy, and we shouldn't let the world dictate how distracted we're going to be. Cut off the cell phone. I know it may kill some of you. You literally may start shaking. That's okay. Cut them off. Sit in a room. Look out at the trees. Do something to get away. And I pray that we can do it every day. But I know it's challenging. But some of the things that I'm going to share today is simply because of the retreat. I owe it to the retreat to be able to go, man, I heard some things and I saw some things I don't think I could have just in the regular routine of my life. So before you guys got here, just to let you know, the power went out in the building for about an hour. And Lavinia says in this community, sometimes it goes out quite a bit. So we were thinking, okay, what's gonna be plan A, plan B, plan C? Are we gonna meet like under the corridor there, or are we gonna meet in the back? Where's the sun? Where's it going to be? You know, what are we going to do? Are we going to come in here? It was dark in here. Are we going to have a service in here that's dark? That would have been really good because we're talking about how to stay in the light. So that would have been great. I was ready. I was like, oh, we got some illustrations, you know. But, you know, how do we prevent the power from going out in this building? Well, you really can't unless you have a what? A generator. I mean, you got a generator, we're set, no problem, bring on the storm. But in life, when it comes to our relationship with God and the light that we've been talking about, there is no generator that can keep those lights on. That comes from a relationship with God. And so today's focus is, how does one stay in the light? Last week, we talked about darkness and coming out of the darkness and believing and repenting and confessing and getting baptized. And I hope that you understand doctrinally where we are and where we stand at the 1200. And so after we get out of darkness, how do we stay in the light? How do we stay in the light? How do we keep that generator on? Well, we'll talk about that today. And I think the answers may surprise you. how does one stay and remain in the light? In John 14, verse 15, Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commands. Jesus says, if you agapao me, if you take pleasure in me, if you esteem me, and you will keep, you will maintain, you will guard, observe, watch over, properly maintain, preserve, and keep intact my commands. That's what that word keeping means. He said, if you enjoy me, find joy in me, you will observe, watch over, guard, maintain, preserve, keep intact my commands. Interesting. In John 14, 21, he says, the one who has my commands and guards, observes, watches over, properly maintains, preserves, keeps intact my commands, is the one who really esteems me, who really finds joy in me. And the one who finds joy in me will be, well, God will find joy in him. And I will also find joy in him and reveal myself to him. John 14, 23 and 24. If anyone finds joy in me, he will guard, observe, watch over, properly maintain, preserve, keep intact my word. My Father will esteem him, take pleasure in him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. The one who does not find joy in me will not preserve, will not guard, will not properly maintain and keep intact my words. That word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. First John 5. First John 5. I think that's John 5. First John 5. I'll read it. I don't need an electronic board. I got the word. That's what happens when stuff, you know, doesn't work well. You know, you got to have the word. You got to have the paper. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Jesus, or John says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Messiah has been born of God. And everyone who loves the parent loves his child. This is how we know that we love, we find joy in God, God's children. We love God and obey his commands. For this is what love for God is. This is what it means to enjoy, find our joy in God. It's to keep his commands. It's to observe, preserve, guard his commands. And his commands are not what? Burdensome, weighty, oppressive, heavy. I remember when God's commands were heavy, weighty, oppressive. Do I have to? I got to? Versus I get a chance to. I have the opportunity to. You see, if we don't desire God, we won't desire what he says. It's weighty and oppressive and heavy. when we don't connect it or we don't have faith and trust that God's commands are to protect us, not to harm us. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus is saying that he is the divine illumination that reveals and imparts life. He is not just a resource, he is the source of life and the source of light. So, how does one stay in the light? How does one stay in the light? It's pretty simple. You stay in love. You stay in love. It's about relationships. And then you stay obedient. It's about reverence. How do you stay in the light? You stay in love and you stay in obedience. You stay reverent. So today, think about how you obey. Today, think about how you are in relationship with God and how much you love him and connect the two. You know, God knew that man would tend to chase other loves. He knew that people time and time again, and we see this in the Old Testament, would commit spiritual adultery and have other lovers and chase other gods. The Bible's a love story. God calling man back from his distractions and disobedience. And God knew that man would drift from his direction and commands. It's our nature to edit or to delete God's desires for our own good, mind you. So God sent himself. He said, "I'm coming down as this light source. I'm going to give light to a very dark world." The Bible says the light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not understand it or overcome it. So even though God says, "Here I am, touch me. Here I am, listen to me," we still did not listen. God then, though he resurrected, he was victorious, at the end, when he was with these 12 men, he gave them a charge, gave them a commission. And he says, "This is how I want to keep the light in the world. It's a dark world. I'm going back home. So I'm going to rely on you to keep the light in this world." You follow me? In Matthew 28, "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Now, question for you. Is he talking to the apostles only? Is he talking to ministers only? Is he talking to future deacons only? Is he talking to all Christians? What do you think? Is this for? Now, obviously, now he's talking to the apostles in the scripture. But is this passage for us as well? Do you believe that? So when Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me, heaven on earth, go," he's telling me to go. Is that how you read it? The minister, A.B. Yeah. Is he also telling you to go? Where do you go? Okay, what did he say? Go to all nations. You know, this is where, in the retreat, you know, I was praying. I'm going, wow, the lights came on. And I thought, this is an all or nothing passage. It really is. All authority has been given to me. Either it's all authority or it's no authority. All nations. Go make disciples of all nations. That means all different types of people, races, backgrounds, colors, classes. So me, an 18-year-old, had to make a decision to give Jesus my ultimate respect and reverence as my authority in my life at 18. And then I had to make a decision that I got to give up my prejudices. I got to reach out and love everybody like Jesus loved me. And then it says, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything. All that I've commanded. So here I got all authority, all nations, and all that he commanded. And I go, I get it. It cleared it up for me because it's no longer subjective. We go, oh, make disciples, teach them to obey. Obey what? Teach them to obey what? Well, see, I don't know about, I don't want all the lights on in the house. I just want the ones in my bedroom. But the garage and the kitchen, I don't need lights there. He said, I want to light up the whole world. And then he says, I'll be with you always. Either he is or he's not. All or nothing. Jesus is here right now. The challenge is this. What I find is when you talk about which ones that we should obey, is it like a smorgasbord? Do we just pick and choose? And, you know, it dawned on me for the first time, mind you, and I'll confess. I go, what does it mean? It teach people to obey all that Jesus commanded. If George and I are in a discipling relationship, if we're brothers and helping each other to be disciples, and let's say he's a new Christian, got baptized, you know, brand spanking new, as his brother, I want to help him to obey. I want to teach him to obey all that Jesus commanded. Well, he's going to say, what did he command? Do you have an answer for him? Could you help him to obey everything that he commanded? You know how you do it? Google it. What did Jesus command? And then you print it up. No, George needs that. So you go, okay. You know, you're all spiffy, and you go, okay, Jesus said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. That's George. Let's talk about that. Did you hear JP talk about following Jesus? It's going to be that path, right? And that path is not going to be looking like Ireland on a sunny day. Sometimes it's going to be, you know what I'm saying? You know, you remember last week you had that. It's teaching him to observe, obey what Jesus commands. Be reconciled. Therefore, if you're presenting a gift, presenting your offer at the altar, and remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, then come present your offering. You know, George, you have a tendency because of your past to not forgive people. And I understand that. We all have that challenge. So the brother of the day, Bill Bogan, hurt your feelings. What do you think you should do? See what I'm saying? And then you go, George, how did that go? Did y'all reconcile? How'd that go? Great, bro. It went awesome. Amen. Just kind of helped them to obey. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery in his heart. Hey, how's our purity, George? How's that going? I'll tell you how it's going for me. Well, oh, yeah, yeah, that situation's pretty tough. I know. She comes to your work every day. Had that happen too. Let's pray about that. Okay, so just let's talk about it. Do not worry. Do not worry. That's not a suggestion. Do not worry. Have you looked at the birds in the air, George? Let's watch them. Let's check them out. Let's talk about it. You can't increase an hour of your day by worrying, so trust God. Do not worry. Lay up not for yourselves treasures upon the earth where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, laying up treasures in heaven, not on this earth. Man, George, it seems like you really love that truck a lot. Ain't nothing wrong with loving a truck, brother. That's fine, man. But you don't want to beat up a guy who scratched it, okay? That's too much. Enter through the narrow gate, George. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction. Beware of false prophets, George. Do not fear those who can kill the body, George. Go to Jesus for rest. Take his yoke upon you, George. Honor your parents, George. Deny yourself, George. Forgive offenders without end, George. Lead by being a servant, George. Take on the heart of a child, George. Invite the poor when you host food gatherings. I know you do. Invite them. Await Jesus' return, George. Keep praying. Make disciples. Baptize them. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything he's commanded you. Here it is right here. If you feel like you don't know what to do, look in the Bible. Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. Go make disciples, baptize them, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. I'll be with you. So it's pretty easy to understand. We have to slow our lives down in order to do it. And we're doing a lot in our life groups to help, to aid us, to have a vehicle for Matthew 28, 18 through 20. What we're saying is that we're going to gather on Tuesday nights or Thursday nights or Wednesday nights to have a great discussion about following Jesus, and we got to use our statement, so let's be focused on yourself. And then as we are free to share our joys, our challenges, and then after that, we're going to get together and maybe the next day or later on in the week, and we're going to talk about what it means to follow Jesus, to obey all that he's commanded. Matter of fact, myself and Vincent Palmer, we get together every other week. Harold Cheeseborough and I, we get together every Friday. We're going to go through this list. And we're going to share with each other, what areas do you feel like you need to grow in? Because at this point, they're mature disciples. And so it's not about me teaching them. It's about us reminding and encouraging and spurring on. Now, you got a young brother, you're not newly baptized, but if you got somebody who just came out of the water, then it's different. J.C. Simmons, and we got together yesterday, me and J.C. and Vince, and we're starting at the beginning. Say, here's Jesus, introducing him to our Lord. But after he becomes a Christian, after he's seasoned like Vince and Harold, we're all going to be sharing, so I'm looking forward to this week doing this. This is the challenge. So, we have DS1. We have all these things that we're trying to get people to have the relationship so that we can be upfront and encourage one another, teach one another to obey all that Jesus commands. That's how we stay in the light. That's how the world sees the light in us. Really? So let me ask you a question. Who is helping you to obey all that Jesus commanded? Do you have a person? Is it consistent? Is it healthy? Is it good? And number two, who are you helping to obey all that Jesus commanded? You know, you do that, that's loving God and that's obeying what he commands. This is what we're working to do. All authority, all nations, all his teachings to be observed and obeyed and always have his presence. So, this is what was revealed to me during my time in the retreat. It's a basic principle, but one honestly that I missed. And it was so easy, it's right before me. Teach them to obey all that I've commanded. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do we go about doing that? Jesus didn't say how. He leaves it open to us, honestly. There are so many ways that we can wonderfully and creatively help one another to obey. Not just to know. Now, some of us go, oh, I know what it says. The question is, are you doing what it says? Who's helping you to do what it says? That's the body of Christ. That's basic Christianity, 101. That was Jesus' plan. He said, guys, I'm giving it to you. Now you go be that source of life. And then he says, I'm leaving the comforter, the counselor behind to help you in this endeavor. Because we'll mess it up, won't we? We will mess it up. We'll be all over the place. And we need that spirit kind of guiding us back to that path that JP talked about and following the Lord. I've said enough. What are your thoughts? Different kind of time today. What are your thoughts? Dan.
I appreciate this a lot, and it's I appreciate the point you made at the beginning about it's about obeying God and yet also maintaining that relationship with God. And I know for me, kind of my ground state is to think, okay, I'll be a good little soldier, let me obey, bit. But I can lose the need of that relationship with God. And you were talking about the having the lights and the generator and all that kind of stuff. Well, I got a generator at home.
I know you do.
Yeah. It is noisy, it's inefficient, it consumes a tremendous amount of fuel, and it doesn't light up the house the way that plugging it into the grid does. Mm. And quite often in my own life, that's how I try to run. I try to obey. Let me do the right thing. Let me do all the things I'm supposed to do. But I'm running on generator power, and it's inefficient. I get tired. I run out of gas. Mm. I get frustrated, and then I go, ah, it's too much. I can't do it all. So for me, the thing about obeying, I got to remember to turn off the generator and throw the breaker and plug into the grid.
There you go. There you go.
Connect to the limitless power source. Yeah. So I appreciate it. The thing about it is, like I said, for me, obeying is one thing, but I got to remember to plug into the source of my strength and not try and do it on my own.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
In Ephesians 5:1-2, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. And what you're talking about, being in the light, I think Jesus was the perfect example, that when I focus on him, I could stay in the light. But when I lose sight of him, like you say, we can go off in a different path, and we lose sight of what JP was saying. You can go all over the place, but Jesus is always there to bring you back to follow his example. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful for Jesus setting that example for us, that we can obey God if we're following his example.
Yep. Yeah. Well, the great thing about it, brothers and sisters, is that we are the body of Christ. We're all different parts of the body. Do you know how we can learn from one another? just by simply going, so how can we help each other obey the commands of God? God's Spirit speaks through every one of us. And sometimes we, and it may sound kind of funny, but sometimes we look to God. And God says, I gave you the body. I gave you people around you that can help you with your blind spots. I gave you people that can kind of help you with your life. And you can help. And sometimes we can get super spiritual. And we can be so independent spiritually. Instead of going, well, if the body, one part hurts, we should comfort. How does that happen? You know, every Friday, like I said, the Cheeseboros and us, we get together. And do you know what happens between a Friday and a Friday? A lot of things.
A lot of life.
I mean, last Friday could have been great. This Friday could have been, man, let me tell you. But that's when we're kind of off on that path and we need a reminder of, here's Jesus, guys, in our parenting, in our marriage, in our finances, in every aspect of life. And so do you have all rooms open? Do you have all rooms of your life open to be discipled? And some people get funny about that term, to obey all that Jesus commands. Let's just say that. Are you open to that? If you are, I've been meditating on Matthew 7:7, ask, seek, and knock. If we ask, God will answer. If we simply beg and plead and knock, the door will be open. If we seek, we will find. God will see to it. Oh, a couple more. Yes. Yes.
I really liked when at the beginning when you didn't say keeps, but you said guards, preserves.
Yeah.
I think when I've read that and I say keep it, I'm doing what Dan mentioned. I'm just kind of, okay, I've got to keep these commands. I got to do this,
yes.
You know.
Yeah.
And I want somebody to tell me, just tell me what to do. Mm. I will do it. But it takes a lot more to guard and to
yes.
preserve, and
yes.
when you look at that. And also, you know, not just saying love, but to find joy in.
That's right.
So that really helped me, thank you.
Amen, amen. Yeah, Tim.
You know, one of the, I think it was in a life group lesson that one of the points was pointed out in this scripture that I, to my shame, don't think about and tend to, tend to forget, but, well, I guess tend to forget is that he's not just saying go, you know, because sometimes I think, well, okay, see you later, Lord, I'm going to go do what you told me to do. I'm going to go obey you. But the last sentence, you know, he says, I'm with you always, you know, till the end. And, you know, when I forget that, I stop obeying.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus has always been with us in the 1200s. Even when we were Capital City and Tallahassee Church and University, he's been with us the whole way. The whole way. And this scripture, it's not just a baptism scripture. It's not that. It's Jesus saying, I want you to pour into others what I've poured into you. Amen. It's not just about going through some principles. It's about living life together, walking together, making sure, encouragement, sometimes correction. It's come on, man, you're off that. It's life together. My fear is that we're too busy. But to me, seeing all these commands, it excites me. Because I go, I want to have this full life. I don't want to have any blind spots in my life. And it's not saying that you obey and you're going to be perfect. It's saying, no, you're going to be perfected by this. No one's going to keep all of them. But more, the more we strive, that's the transformation. That's the maturation, the sanctification that we have. One more. Yeah.
What encourages me about the commands is that the scriptures say that it's not that we really love God, but God loved us first before we love God. And to keep his commands is love. So when you, I know for me, when I look at the commands and I understand that it's really, I'm not doing it for God in the sense that I'm giving God something that he doesn't already have. I'm really doing it for really myself and the people around me. Mm. Because the commands produce love. You know, and since God loved us first, the thing that he tells us to do is not really for his benefit, but for my benefit, but for the people around me, their benefit. Right. Yeah, so it gives me the motivation to continue to pursue the commands because, you know, it's not a work. It's not a task. It's not an obligation. It's not something that I'm repaying to God. It's really something that produces love.
That's right.
That's the way I look at it.
Yes, it's not an obligation. It's an opportunity. Come on. Everybody cheered when the lights came on in this building. They're like, yes! It's lighter. It's cooler. We'll be able to put some stuff on the screen. I mean, so many benefits happened when those lights came on. And all we're saying is, let's turn them on in our lives, in all of our lives. 20 minutes after we end, I just want to remind, we have the life group leaders meeting in the back. And I want the rest of you to be praying about our meeting. Because again, 1200, the vehicle in which we're riding this out is through life groups. And so we're going to have a great time to talk about this as life group leaders. I'm going to give you guys that packet of commands. But I want the life group leaders to personalize it first. And then we'll find a way to make it a part of our life groups and a part of our DNA and all that. But I want you to pray about it. I don't want this to be just a task. I want it to be a lifestyle, a one that will glorify God in a great way. Doug?